Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MM Forgings Limited Q2 FY26 post-results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be no opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dinesh Kumar from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, ma'am. Welcome and welcome to MM Forgings Limited 2Q FY26 post-results conference call. From the management side, we have with us today Mr. Vidyasagar Krishnan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Venkata Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Vidyasagar Krishnan for the opening remarks, to be followed by a question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dinesh. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us for our Q2 results call. I'd like to start by giving a quick view of where we are in H1, and I'd be happy to take questions once I'm done. So for this half-year, we have achieved 758 crores of turnover, as against 793 of the previous half-year. And EBITDA stands at 142 crores, as against 162 crores of the previous year. Profit before tax at 53 crores, as against 87 crores, and PAT at 36 against 62. I'm reeling off these numbers. If you would like me to present these numbers later, I'll be happy to. Yeah, next one. Next. Domestic sales stands at 61.5%, almost on even keel as in the previous period. Sales to America has the North American market has dropped from 16% to 9%. South America stands at about 6%, Europe at 21%, and others at 2%. So basically, due to the slowdown in the Class 8 truck market, there has been an inventory pileup at our customer end, and as a consequence, sales to the U.S. market has slowed down. Now, within the overall sales, the domestic market. One second, I'll just show you the consolidated figures. Yeah, okay. The standalone numbers on the domestic market read as.
Hello? Hello? Hello, members of the management team. Are you able to hear me? Hello? Dinesh, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Seems like we have lost the connection from the management's line. Please stay connected while we reconnect them. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the lines of the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, I think somewhere the connection got lost. My apologies. We don't know why. Dinesh, can you highlight where you lost me?
After first two lines, the connection dropped.
First two lines in another.
Consolidated figures you are seeing after that line.
Okay. Overall, I was giving the breakup. So on the standalone front, domestic stands at 437 crores and export at 275 crores. Ratios remain the same with the previous year, previous period. Overall sales looks at 742 versus 773. Domestic is almost static, whereas exports has fallen by about 28 crores. EBITDA for this period stands at 19% as against 21% for the previous period. EBITDA, operational EBITDA, stands at 17.5% versus 19.5% for the previous year. The as forged sales is 46% and as machined is 54. These numbers were 48 and 52 in the previous half year. The EBITDA per ton stands at 38,000 rupees as against 40,000 rupees, 40,500 of the previous half year. For this year, it stands at 38,300. Overall sales is 80% CV, 10% pass car and 10% off highway and engineering. The same ratio holds good across export and domestic. If we consider auto as one segment, the ratios are approximately 90% in both domestic and in export markets, maybe 91% in exports. The share of pass car in exports is a tad less at 6%, whereas the share of pass car in domestic is a tad higher at 13%. But overall, the auto market numbers stand at 90 to 91%. And 10% is off-highway and engineering. Forged and machined stands at 51% as against 58% in the previous half year. We have this half year we have sold 38,000 tons as against 52,000 tons produced, 52,000 tons the previous half year. Sales stand at 37,000 tons against 40,000 tons in the previous half year. So these are some brief fundamentals of the organization. As we, let me just close out by giving a brief outlook. We expect this year to be around the previous year's numbers, give or take a few percentage points in terms of revenue. Hopefully, we are seeing the CV market in US rebound, and much of the stocks at customer end has been depleted, so they're starting to buy from us from November onwards. So that will definitely add to the entire portfolio. So Q2, H2 appears to be heading for a better number. All things being equal, we should do something around 750 to 800 crores in H2 and take the number close to previous year level. Going forward, beyond that, we have an order book of around 300 crores revenue with us, and that is expected to realize around, we expect to realize about 200 crores in FY27. These are the basic information. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them on. Am I audible, Dinesh and operator? Can you ask the you could request the participants for raising questions. In the absence of questions, let me continue a little bit more. Our EV subsidiary, Abhinava Rizal, is yet to open its account on sales, though we are very, very close to a customer. and we were this customer was acquired by early end May itself. However, due to the disruption in supply of magnets from China, we have not been able to take that forward, and we've had to work around by developing new motors for them. That has worked out quite well, and the customer has tremendous confidence in us and has placed orders on us for sample parts to be delivered by end of this month. Once these parts get extensively tested at end customer at OE level, we would be moving forward with at their level, at their end, we would be moving forward with sales. Overall, this customer holds about 20 to 30 crores of potential, and has committed that they would like to work very closely with us. So one good news is that Abhinava Rizal is slowly seeing end of the light and will start its manufacturing very shortly. In the meantime, its strength on designing motors ground up has come to the fore and is of tremendous use when we are looking at motors with light rare earth magnets or even ferrite or other types of motors which do not require magnets at all. So Abhinava Rizal is able to move forward very quickly on design, and that is one of the key strengths of the organization. All this has to translate into sales and growth for the organization. In the meantime, the other wholly owned subsidiary or the wholly owned subsidiary DVS Industries will be merged into MM Forgings. Those proceedings are on at NCLT, and we expect the merger anytime now. So over to participants for any further questions. Dinesh, am I audible?
Yes, sir. We will start.
Yeah. Sure. I think the operator has to make an announcement, no?
Yeah. Totally.
Dinesh, any response?
I just told them, sir. Please say.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Yash. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. My name is Yash. So just want to ask a question on the, you have installed the highest 120,000 ton forging press, right sir? So I just want to check the, what is the annual revenue that can be added once it is completely installed? Yeah, thank you sir.
Can you introduce yourself a bit clearly?
Sir, my name is Yash. So my question is, so we have installed
from,
a heavy press.
You are from any financial institution or?
No sir, I am an individual investor sir. Yeah.
Okay. You are based out of?
Hyderabad sir.
Okay. Yeah, see we are installing this 16,500 ton press, the world's largest hot forging mechanical press. This is getting commissioned in by March. Maybe a little bit of, by around April, we would expect it to be starting to produce parts. Overall, turnover out of that would be in the region of around 300 crores.
Okay. And also, compared to the, there will be a jump up in the margins also, right, sir, with this addition, actually, since it's a very largest press, actually.
Correct. Revenue should start appearing from financial.
Oh, okay. Sure, sir. Definitely. I think company is facing some tough times, so hope we will overcome it soon. And thanks for your leadership, sir. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Yash.
Yeah.
in Fort Kudu. Operator, any further questions?
The next question is from Lakshmi Narayan. You can go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Lakshmi Narayan from Sundra Investments. Thank you. Two questions. First question is that the revenue segment review slide, there is something called production, and we are actually mentioned HF and FS. I can just elaborate what is HF and what is FS in that particular slide. The last performance slide.
Correct. HF is our heavy forgings division.
Okay.
And FS is our regular forge shop.
Okay. And what do you classify as heavy forgings?
Forged 6,000 ton press and beyond.
Got it. Good. The second is that you know, as investors, which year we should actually look forward to for a breakout of MM Forging's performance? Is it 27 or 28? I mean, keeping the external environment separate, if we look at it from a internal capability and capacity and competency point of view, which year you think we will be very well positioned? Just want to understand from you.
FY20 this year itself, we are reasonably, our house is in reasonable order. Okay. But some of the assets that have been put in for growth will be coming in by end of this fiscal. So in Q1 or from Q1 onwards, they'll go into production. And so what we are seeing is an overall dampening of the overall market situation, particularly with regard to exports. And that has resulted in a duller performance. So all things being equal, FY27 should be a breakout year.
Okay. So the last conference call you alluded that there has been a slowness or a deceleration of demand from the US, and you actually well guided, and that's what is actually playing out. Now, how things have actually changed? Is it now that is the lowest ebb is reached, or you still see prolonged uncertainty from the limited set of customers you are actually engaging with?
We are seeing this as a bottom. Our Q2 sales to America, if you see, even our H1 overall sales to the US has been, the region-wise, if you see, has dropped from 16% to 8%. So almost a 10% drop in the US market. And we've not lost any market share. So that 8% on overall sales means you're looking at about 50 crores.
Mm-hmm.
If I had that 50 crores now, we wouldn't be looking at our sales numbers would have been far, far better.
Yeah. So you think this is most like a postponed supply which you need to do and not that it has actually gone off?
I would say it's the other way around. It has been preponed supply.
Mm-hmm.
Customers
mm-hmm.
have bought in advance and they have stocked up at their end. And faced with demand reduction. Now, the Class 8 truck market is beginning to wake up, and we are seeing purchases starting from November onwards. Last 3 months have been particularly bad. And we see this picking up by June of next year. It should be at reasonable clip.
In coming to working capital,
for example, even if we look at the US market, just taking it on a bit further, in the overall last year was 16%. In Q1, mm-hmm. we did 9%.
Mm-hmm.
And ignoring the decimals, okay? And in Q2, we've done only 7% sales to America.
Okay.
So the overall situation appears to be, Q2 has been probably the worst. Usually, America would stand at 16 to 22%. Nowadays, 16% because domestic has increased. Typically, around 16% is what we have seen over years.
And their customers are restocking, and they are actually again the buy orders are strictly.
Yeah, they've come back to buying mode. Exactly, they've done out of their inventories and they're coming back to buying mode. In FY22, America's were at 20% of sales. Then between 15, 12, 16, 17. So, I see this as a Q2 of this year as the worst. Tariff headwinds, I expect would be resolved anytime. We're all expecting some solution anytime. As and when it comes, that will add to the plus.
Good. And is there any place where we have lost some orders in terms of competition in our domestic or international in the last 6 months?
Nothing specific.
Okay. Now, coming to our working capital to sales, right? I think it was actually well maintained and it actually went up higher. And so can you just help me understand, how as a company you're looking at working capital, and is there a way in which you can actually, lean it down?
Yeah, our overall borrowings at the end of F25 stood at 1062 crores. I am talking gross debt.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Net of cash at roughly 843.
Mm-hmm.
One end it went up almost to 900 net debt. And it, at the end of Q2, it's back to around 850.
Okay.
Term debt stands at 750.
Mm-hmm.
And the working capital at 330, and after cash on hand works out to 850.
Okay. So I just want to understand how are you thinking about it slightly longer?
Narayan, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Let me answer this question and then go on. Those are interesting questions. We'll answer this question and then probably he can rejoin the queue if required.
Sure.
So we are expecting, that this would come down by about 50 to 75 crores. We are compressing our inventories now and we see scope for a reduction of at least 50 crores in our inventories.
Thank you so much, Mr. Vidya Shankar. I'll get back to you.
Thank you, Salafi.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sumit Kumar, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Hi. I want to ask about the Abhinav Rizal. You said that we are having an order of around 20 to 30 crores. So is it a quarterly order or a yearly one?
No, when I say 20 to 30, it's an annual order.
Oh, annual order. And we have increased our share in Europe vis-a-vis there is a drop in US. So we have grabbed some clients over there or just?
We've added a couple of clients in Europe, but more than anything else, there has been a big drop in America.
Yes. That was my question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Srinath Saravanan from Spark Asia Impact Managers. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand, is there any restructuring in employees? Because I see there's an increase in employees cost.
Nothing specific.
Okay. Sir, then just wanted to see whether you are trying to diversify from commercial vehicles, because with the 16,500 ton press, whether we will be targeting something in off-highway or tractors segment, sir?
Can you repeat the question?
Sir, with the 16,500 ton press, which is coming next year, whether we will be diversifying away from commercial vehicles and increasing our market share in off-way and industrial segments, or?
That is the overall plan, but I don't think that will happen next year. Next year, our dependence on CV will continue to be there.
Thanks.
Venturing into off-highway will require machining investments. At this point of time, we have not planned any.
That's it from me.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee from Crescent Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, I am.
Sir, what is the CAPEX plan for like second half of this financial year and maybe in next 1 or 2 years?
This year we plan to invest next, first half we've invested about 100 crores. Second half we'll do 70 or less. And next year is likely to be around 100 to 120 crores overall.
Okay. And sir, what is like with this new capacity also getting commercialized, like what is like our overall utilization levels?
If we look at the forging space, we stand at about, we are headed for about 75,000 tons of capacity utilization.
Okay.
And this year, and next year we expect to push it to anywhere between 80 to 90.
Okay. And sir, what is the current situation like in US, especially with the 50% tariffs? Like you are saying that now there will be some pickup. So will we be able to pass on this entire 50% tariff, or we'll have to absorb some part of it? Can you like help us with the current like situation?
So far, we are not affected. The tariffs are borne by the customers.
Okay. And,
going forward, I would say until March, probably they would absorb. Beyond March, they would definitely look at resourcing or at negotiating. For sure. Mm-hmm. Nobody can wear 50% and then simply carry on business as usual.
Yeah, and so the alternative would be again like maybe shifting to China, Mexico. Like, how will that like work? Hello.
Alternative would be largely stateside, meaning they would be buying from local shops, but then they do not have the capacities and the people and the industry there to take this kind of volume or this kind of priced parts. So probably it could shift to other parts of Asia, but those would face the same issues. China's duty, I don't think, is going to be any less than India's at any time. So unless, you know, geopolitical actions are different, we can't predict those, but we can reasonably expect that China's duties would be approximately where India is.
Get that. And sir, there was a significant like improvement in sales per ton. In your presentation, it was mentioned from 1.8 lakhs per ton to 1.93 in first half. What has driven this? Is it like the increased machining or better product mix? If you can help explain that.
More machined parts have gone, but overall the sales of machined parts has not increased, only come down. But the extent of machined, the value add that we are doing in machined parts has gone up.
Okay. But sir, even with the improved realization, there was a dip in gross margin year-on-year. What has driven that? Like, is it the fall in U.S. exports or, yeah?
The fall is largely on account of employee costs and power and fuel. Employee costs rising as a result of lesser sales. And power and fuel also going up due to inflation rate.
That's all from my side. Thanks. I will get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnerQuest Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just would like to know, like, do you see now the way scenario is happening for Class 8, that 2027-2028 year will be difficult to have 15% volume growth? And do you also share some risk if you think that 21-22%, that +12% margin of what we were maintaining is difficult to achieve by 2027-2028? Thanks.
Thanks. See, I would expect our expectations at this point of time are that the Class 8 truck market will rebound from June of next year onwards. So that should result in improved sales. And overall, once sales pick up by another 50-100 crores, we should see a rebound in margins as well.
Can you share thoughts on, like, overall, let's 1,260 crore expansion plan, which you have planned, where do we stand, and when do we think that 16,500? Of course, you said some timeline, but both next phase of 5,000, are we on track or will we do little delayed, and how much?
Sure. See, we are at the far end of our expansion cycle. We have another 70 crores to invest. We plan to invest another 70 crores this year. We are stretching our investments and don't want to increase our overall debt position from where it is. So within a few crores of that, of these levels. So consequently, we'll be spending about 70 crores in the second half. And hereafter, the spending would be at those rates only, about 50 crores-70 crores a half year.
No, that will be phased till the time you feel that this kind of current scenario is well. But moment that Class 8 positivity and order starts getting built, how will you go ahead with your overall mission to reach
next
till
year,
that?
Next year, we would still see. We've done a lot of CapEx in the past. We have invested more than 1,000 crores in the last 5 years. So
right.
Some of that has gone into production. A good portion of that is yet to get into production. We have to focus on getting that into production and improving our sales. That is a key factor. And we expect our sales go by at least 300 crores in the next 15 to 18 months, 12 to 18 months, assuming that things don't bottom out further. Okay?
Mm.
So there is a, you know, we keep adding water into the bucket and there is also a leakage from the bucket at the bottom of water that is already there. Overall bucket seems to be running at the same level, but we seem to be working harder and putting mugs of water into the bucket. So currently that's what is happening. We would expect this trend to it's a mixed bag. I mean, everybody knows the volatility in the global economy these days. Nobody can hazard a guess on where we will be. But overall conditions, India is positive and US is not. Europe is middling. South America is slightly bustling. So given these conditions and if things don't tank any further, I would say that we are in for, we should start reversing our growth from FY27 onwards. That is reversing our decline from next year onwards and see some growth. How much will depend upon how much water doesn't go out of the bucket.
Mm-hmm. And in a best case scenario, this 1,000 crore what we have invested can take to, what is the maximum potential of our existing capacity to earn revenue? Is it beyond 4,000 crore or it's still less than
what,
that?
What's happening is there is a, the current capacities can't take us to 4,000 crore for sure. The general ratio of turnover to investment is around 1, at best 1.2. So let's say our gross block now stands at 2,000 crore. You can do the math. So 2,500 looks to be an outlier number. Okay.
Okay.
So we can look at around 500 to 700 crores. If everything goes, aligned, and we don't, that is, we get orders for where we have already developed and parts don't slip out, we should look at something in the region of 500 to 700 CR added to our current turnover.
Okay. And
you can take a base of around 1,500 crores. So on 1,500, we should see potential to cross 2,000, which is what we've been saying all the while. So we are focusing on making it happen. There have been a few delays in customer projects, which is the reason why we are not been able to ramp up on sales. Plus, there has been an erosion due to economic turmoil in other markets. So the, all this put together is has resulted in us being static at where we are.
And now coming to the EV part, like congratulations for working out the alternate to overcome the magnet constraint. Can you share some thoughts on that?
We'll probably, Abhinav Raisal probably would be the or one of the few companies in India that can design a motor ground up without seeking any technological help from anybody.
Right.
And my customers are saying that our motors are at least 2% more efficient.
Mm-hmm. Great
so
to hear that, sir.
The issue is now to get customers to participate in the story. What happens is that fortunately or unfortunately, particularly the big customers, they don't want to, they love a startup, but they don't want to take any risk by going ahead with the startup. Now, that has proved to be a real bugbear for Abhinav Raisal. And also the fact that we have developed motors only, whereas OEs today require a 3-in-1 or a 6-in-1 solution. Means they're looking at a motor, controller and gearbox, bare minimum 3-in-1. Then you add in DC-DC converter, charger, VCU. So all those things, they're looking at a 6-in-1 or a 5-in-1, 7-in-1 kind of a solution. Those are where Abhinav Raisal lacks product offerings itself. So on the motor side, the opportunity of rare earths, though it has delayed our commercialization by a few months, has also presented us opportunities, and I'm sure will continue to present us opportunities in bringing products to customers. We have to make it happen. The second point is that we are also diversifying into making controllers. And we have a few samples ready. We'll get into making, into commercializing our controller foray. That will increase our product portfolio and step by step grow the business.
And what about the third part, which is more
sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Nitin, but can you please rejoin the queue for further questions?
It's just continuation of that. I'll stop
I'll answer this one. You can go back to the queue. I'll answer
Third,
gear is basically the transmission, the mechanical side. That can be outsourced or MMF itself can support Abhinav Raisal and make it. There are enough players making transmissions these days.
Yeah, madam. Please, I'll come back in queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You.
The next question comes from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan from RK Invest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, I see that of late many of the retail CE finance players are reporting NPAs. So just want to know, what is the outlook on the CE industry, what you are hearing from the in the marketplace?
We expect the CE market to be static in terms of numbers. Maybe a 2% growth this way or that way. What is happening in the CV market is larger multi-axle vehicles are being phased out, are not preferred, not phased out. Customers don't prefer multi-axle vehicles. They are moving towards tractor-trailer model, particularly for long haulage. Tractor-trailers do not require multiple front axles. As a result, overall front axle beam and front axle requirement has come down, which means that the market that MM Forgings addresses along with its competitors has shrunk due to customer preference and their product offerings. While the tonnage of the vehicle has gone up, TUV has gone up, or TIV has gone up, but the number of front axle requirements has come down across CV customers.
Okay.
That has resulted in stagnation as far as domestic sales is concerned.
Okay. I said the next question is on the trade tariff. So there are talks about the tariffs getting removed in the near term. So if that happens, whether your program on exports will start immediately or there will be a period that we need to wait before the program really starts?
Yeah. What has happened is that this tariff uncertainty or tantrum period has coincided with higher inventory at our customer end.
Okay.
So that inventory has drawn down mostly. So customers are starting to increase their offtake. They'll do so regardless of tariff conditions because they have to run their business. But then it can't go on indefinitely. If the tariffs are at this level, they'll be unsustainably high. Customers will look at alternatives, but alternatives can come only from sources where tariff differential is. Not from a manufacturing point of view, because already from a manufacturing point of view, we have secured that business because we have been globally competitive.
Okay.
So competition can come only out of tariff delta and not on account of pricing delta.
Okay. So just two more housekeeping questions. So the first one is on the material cost. I find that the cost is really reduced this quarter compared to your June as well as the previous year September quarter. So is this cost, I think, of almost 42% to sales? Is this sustainable or is there any one-off sitting in this quarter?
Nothing specific in the material cost.
Okay. So in that case, I think you guided that your H2 of this year will be more or less similar to previous year. So can we expect a better margin compared to last year?
See, given this volatile situation, I do not know what to comment as far as margins are concerned. All that I can say is that cost-wise, we are holding down our costs reasonably well. Though there is some scope for cost reduction that is happening within the organization. So overall, given this extremely volatile environment, I would say from these levels, we would expect margin to be only improving. Certainly, yes.
Okay.
If we hold that, we have hit bottom in terms of sales, then margin should be improving. But whether this is the bottom or not, you know, it's not a question that I can answer right now. But we expect, from what I said earlier, we expect Q2 to have been our worst quarter.
Oh, got it, sir. So lastly, the other expense line item.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Rajakumar, but can you please rejoin the queue for further questions?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions only so that the management is able to answer everybody's question. Should you have follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Bhavesh Jain from DV Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, you very well explained about the US market, which you expect to rebound it by June 27. So, can you throw some light on the domestic CV market and how do you see it forward?
June 26, Bhavesh.
June 26, yeah, yeah. So, no, on the domestic market, so how do you see it going forward?
Domestic market looks to be holding its own. As I've said, TIV has gone up, but unit sales has dropped because multi-axle vehicles are being replaced by tractor trailers.
Okay, okay. Understood. That's
so
it.
So, the addressable market for MMF's products in that zone has come down.
Okay, sir. Understood. And can you give a breakup on the CAPEX? Like next year we are expecting around 100 crore of CAPEX again. So any breakup on that?
We would expect next year to add another 15 to 20,000 tons to our capacity by commissioning our 16,500 ton press, of course, and also add one more forging line, possibly a 4,000 ton press. So these two should enter into production. So that will push up our capacity close to around 140,000 tons. We should be doing anywhere between 80 to 90,000 tons next year. Though achieving 1 lakh tons is only dependent upon the market. So waiting for market conditions to improve.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saurabh from QRC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Most of them have been answered. But just on the, I guess you touched up on the CapEx bit, but could you just help us understand the large press that you will commission next year, and it's going to become a significant part of our incremental revenue and even revenue as a whole. On 1500 crores, we will potentially add 300 crores. What are the particular products or industries that this will cater to, and how does this impact margins overall?
As I said earlier, the 16,500 ton press should add about 300 crores of turnover. We have yet to market that press outside, so that turnover will start to come in from FY27 onwards. But in the meantime, we would be using the press to produce bigger parts and address markets that are already acquired. We would, what is the next part of your question? Sorry?
Does this 300 crores, once it is stabilized and marketed, come at a significantly better margin than the existing products?
Yes, definitely yes.
And so I guess we will get a better idea once it's commissioned, so I won't ask you what the number is going to be.
Definitely, look at it. I can hazard guesses on those numbers based on what I'm hearing and seeing from my marketing team. But as you said, it's too early. We should definitely market the margins, there will go up. See, what happens is that a good portion of manufacturing cost goes to, let me answer it from a financial point of view, okay, you will appreciate that. The good portion of the manufacturing cost goes to capital allocation for each part. Now, because the capex here is significant, naturally price recovery will have to be made on a per part basis. Therefore, the price per part and price per kilo, I would expect will be 10 to 20% higher.
Got it. Okay. And finally, on this other point, and the other point that you made about the customers preferring tractor trailers versus multi-axle, which is in a way impacting our market. So, what can we do to make sure that this doesn't sort of become a problem for us longer term? Are we getting into newer products? If yes, what? And how are we sort of addressing this? Maybe over the medium term, if you could help us understand. Thank you very much.
Sorry, could you please repeat your question?
Mr. Saurabh has been disconnected. The next question comes from the line of Munzal Shah from NSFO. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have a few questions. One is with regards to your Europe. Okay, like could we assume that in absolute terms, revenues from Europe should grow for next couple of years?
Yes, we would expect revenues to grow from Europe to grow.
Okay. The second is, sir, basically with regards to your debt. Okay, means you told that there is a debt reduction, but actually from the figures I couldn't figure out. I think the net debt has increased from March 25 levels. And would you resort to, you know, any dilution to reduce debt, or you are comfortable with current level of debt?
We are, let me clarify the position on the net debt level. Hold on 1 second, I have the numbers in front of me.
Sure.
FY25, we stood at 843 crores of net debt. Currently, at Q2, we stand at 850 crores of net debt. That's only a 7 crore deficit. Or 7
so, short-term loans and advances, you are accounting as a, you know, cash and cash equivalent, right?
Yeah, yeah. Working capital, we are adding into this debt. This is overall debt. If you look at term loan alone, I can give you numbers also.
No, no, no. I'm not talking term loan. I'm talking total debt, sir. Okay. It's total debt.
Total debt stands at 844 crores as of now. Sorry, 844 crores as the previous quarter, previous period. Now it stands at 851 crores. That's only a marginal increase.
Okay. So basically, no, no. If I go line-wise, in the on the asset side, there is the short-term loans and advances. That also you are considering as cash and cash equivalent. Otherwise, the net debt is coming to 950 odd crores.
I had checked it out from my, with my team on where that got consolidated. But we are looking at... No. I don't think we are taking those. We are netting off only cash surpluses that are available in as mutual funds or deposits.
Correct. Cash and cash.
It's only cash and cash equivalents. Trade advances and all, we are not netting off.
Okay, sir. I couldn't find anything, but that's a small amount. Sir, would you see this debt coming down significantly from financial year 27 onwards? Like whatever I have heard from your, you know, remarks. Okay. And assuming that, you know, your 45% is roughly raw material cost. 35% is fixed and semi-fixed cost, and 20% is EBITDA margin average plus minus 1 or 2%. And obviously, you know, you are assuming like, you know, the worst is behind. So next year, even if, and this is just my calculations, I'm not going to hold anybody, but roughly we would do 2,000 crores revenue next year itself. Okay, and obviously there is an operating leverage in play. Okay, so, you know, we should be upwards of 20% EBITDA margins, and, you know, you are rationalizing your capex assumptions. So we should start seeing significant reduction in debt.
See, yeah, very good question. The first half, I would agree with you. And market conditions holding, yes, and the new businesses playing out, certainly, yes. That is the business plan. Now, with regard to debt, I would say there will not be any significant reduction in debt in the next 2 years. What we will do, let me explain. For sure, we don't want to borrow anymore. We have seen peak debt, and God willing, I would like to hold it there. Unless there is an existential threat, I would like to hold debt at these levels. For sure.
So, so then what will you do if you boost to your free cash flow next year?
Now, let me elaborate. So if there is, as we generate free cash for the next year, first of all, we need to make repayments. Of course, the cash would exceed the repayment level. But I would also expect that some amount of nominal capex will take place, anywhere in the region of between 770 to 150 crores. Now, we are tightening our capex to the core. We are ensuring from now on that we invest only in assets that are going to be productive, and of course, the way we've been doing, but we are looking at it with a microscope and saying, okay, this can be cut. So we're chipping and chopping very, very furiously. Now we continue with the same disciplined mindset, and some amount of postponed capex will be there over the next 2 years. But it won't be much, maximum barabar about 25 crores this way, that way. A few buildings here, here and there that are required from layout or from a material handling perspective and so on. So that may be getting added. But overall, what we would see is we would not reduce or pay off the debt in the next 2 years, but we would see we would store that money either in our cash and cash equivalents or reduce our working capital. That is the first thing that we'll do, so that we strengthen the company's position in the next, you know, over the next few years. And time comes, we have that money for any kind of investment. It could even be inorganic.
Okay. So last two questions from my
side. One more question was asked by you or by your predecessor in the questioning sequence. So we could look at, I'm not saying we will, please don't hold me to it, but considering that we are looking at peak debt, and peak debt itself means that we are not uncomfortable, we are not comfortable with any more debt, right? So maybe we need to rethink and see if we could look at an equity infusion. But I am not saying, you know, don't hold me to it, because we are talking, yes, that is an outlier at this point of time.
So you are considering, at least you are considering equity dilution.
It's an outlier at this point of time.
Okay. And it is fair to assume from your comments that, you know, 850 crores will be net debt.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Munzer.
Yeah, just let him complete this question.
This is just a related question, ma'am. So I'd just like to complete it.
Yeah, let him complete this question, because it will be of interest to everybody. Something that is very important for the organization and for those who are following it or who are analyzing it. Yeah, please.
So, sir, you mentioned that your net debt is 850 crores, and that is the peak debt. Okay.
Correct.
So from here on, and I'm not looking at next 6 months or 12 months. Okay. So from a 3 to 5 year perspective also, as in when your capacity is like 140,000 tons next year, and hopefully, you know, from end of 27, you will think of further huge capexes actually. Okay, since asset turn max is 1.2. Okay, so the future capacity additions also, you would be only having a peak debt of 850 crores. That is what one should assume.
Let me, a very good question, very thought over question, requires, I've been mulling over this very, very frequently in my mind. We are looking at this as peak debt for this level of operation. Let me be very, very candid with you, okay? I'm not saying this peak debt is written in stone or, you know, it's nailed to the wall as an absolute number. Should business conditions change positively and there is EBITDA to support the growth, definitely we will see, we could look, and there are opportunities. Okay, next point, there are opportunities to invest. So we could see debt going higher. But as things stand, certainly, for this scale of operation, at least until 2,000 crores, I would like to nail down debt to these levels. That is very clear.
Sure, sir. But I'm very convinced.
That is why I said the previous question, no? When you said, what will you do with the cash? I'll keep the cash aside. And the next jump comes, be ready to invest there. The combination of internal accruals, retained internal accruals, retained earnings, and if required,
additional debt. But that will be at that stage. Certainly, you are only asking about that stage. So I am, to answer your question bluntly and to the point, I am not looking at 850 crores as an absolute peak debt number.
Sure.
If we are going to exceed 850, we will definitely do it only under changed circumstances. That also I would like to add.
Sure.
I hope this answers your question. So putting these two into, adding these two into perspective, if there is growth, or when there is growth and when there is opportunity, we are not averse to increasing debt at that point of time.
Sure.
But definitely we will see three times, because right now we are hitting peak debt. I don't want to hit peak debt again ever. And let's say 2,500 crores. I don't want to say, oh, no, my debt now is 1,200 crores. And this is kind of peak debt at this level. No, hereafter we have to look at also muted debt levels than where we are right now for long-term stability of the organization. These are the guiding principles by which we will add or retain debt. I hope I've answered your question.
It helps us. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, one other point I'd like to... One second. I'd like to add one point to all analysts who have been nice enough to join, is that most of our new debt is in rupee terms. So we are converting, we are in the process of converting those into foreign currency loan and cut our interest costs. This may be of interest to you. It doesn't affect EBITDA, but it definitely adds to retain cash. So our interest outflow for this half year has been about 39 crores as against 30 crores of the previous half year. So far what we have done would save us an outflow of at least 12 crores per annum. So we should be able to bring our investment, our interest outflow with this year to within 70 crores. And we are considering further actions on this front. I would expect our interest to be pegged within 60, maybe if we get our act together, maybe even 50 crores. Somewhere between 50 and 60, we'll target run at rate of interest. So that 80 minus 50, 60 or 50 is also going to be retained cash. Since this interesting doesn't, it falls in an interstice between EBITDA, on which, you know, most of us are focused upon in this meeting, and it doesn't, you know, directly, you know, people don't ask about PAT. So I thought I would take up this, convey this this initiative to all of you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today's call due to time constraint. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you all for your incisive participation, as always, in the Q2 results, in our results, and particularly this one. So as let me summarize a little bit from whatever I've, from a macro point of view. Hopefully Q2 will be our lowest, and the new product development and the sales to North American market should kick in from H2 onwards, and we should see some traction in sales. Probably things go well, we should be looking at sales this year equaling previous year's numbers, maybe a couple of percentage points less. That has to be worked out, depending upon how strong the rebound is in US offtake. Over the next, we are definitely looking at peak debt. We are not looking at adding any more debt to MM Forging's books. And as a consequence, macroeconomic conditions remaining the same, we would look at strengthening the balance sheet with internal approvals as we go on, and use that strength for opportunities, both organic and inorganic, as we go into the future. So our first goal is to improve our sales, which has been flagging over the last few, I would say even years, probably at least 6 to 8 quarters, we could have done better. We should have done better, but combination of customer offtake, customer project delay, and change in market has probably led to this. We are reversing it, and we are also addressing wherever, you know, we have lost some, ceded some market share. We are going back to customers and getting it back. So this is the overall situation at MM Forgings. And the other initiative is to look at reduced interest costs. Perhaps as an outlier, maybe a capital infusion, but that is, as it is in our thought process, much of an outlier only.
Thank you. On behalf of Patliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.